the questions we have sort of thought about are very basic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we thought that maybe at some point, you know, next week, if you have time again, we could do something more in depth for whatever, and you know, to see whether we can sort of find another magazine that's more,
mm-hmm.
you know,
in the discussion.
Yeah.
For the topic to really new discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's a very hot new topic. It's an experiment.
Mm-hmm. Do you work for it regularly?
I'm working there regularly, but most of the time I'm just being kind of asked here. I put in exhibitions and just write five or six sentences each. Not really.
No, we are not really regular teachers. There's any way to do it, which is.
Perhaps we will be in regular interviews.
Yeah, we'll show you afterwards.
Yeah.
Do you want to start?
No, I think.
Yes. Yeah, too.
No.
Maybe you can start sort of explaining a little more what you do, what your sort of personal biography looks like. What the topics are that you're interested in, so we can sort of make up, you know, sort of make up a little blurb for people to introduce you to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am a professor at Georgia Tech in Atlanta, and Georgia Tech is a historically an engineering institute. And so, pretty much what it does is it teaches and trains engineers. But more recently, in the last maybe 20 years, it's branched out into other academic fields, namely business, which from some perspective has been much more branching out of it all, but business and sciences and so on. But they also have to have arts and letters and humanities, and the program I teach in is the humanities program.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the School of Literature, Communication, and Culture. And so at Georgia Tech, my position is I'm a professor in literature, communication, and culture, and although it's three disciplines, it's all in one department. So
the kind of cultural studies.
Right. It's very cultural studies program that focuses on cultural studies of science and technology. And so we kind of cut into kind of the broad field of cultural studies with a particular focus on the history of science, new media, and communication technologies and so on. So the things I do, the things I teach at Tech are, in the undergraduate program, I teach courses in science, technology, and gender, science, technology, and race. And then at the graduate level, I teach in the program in information design and technology, and the courses I do in that area are like communication and culture courses, new media studies courses.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the director of that program, the master's program. And it's a program that trains people to be multimedia designers and web designers, project managers, like multimedia project managers, and so on. So that's kind of my institutional identity. It's one that I've morphed into after several kind of reinventions of things. I mean, I started in a PhD program in organizational theory, and then moved into a PhD program in mass communications, and then went to Georgia Tech and started working much more in science and technology and new media, and now I'm doing multimedia. So just one kind of shift after another, and here's where I am. So I do, you know, now I do more multimedia than I ever thought I would ever do. So I do things like different kinds of multimedia projects, and I work on students' projects, you know, usually as their kind of coordinator or manager. But there have been a couple multimedia projects that I've been involved in under the guise of kind of new media studies, and I've been interested in doing actual multimedia work, because I think if you do media studies, if you used to do media studies in the U.S., you would focus on radio, television, or film, and oftentimes you would have some sort of production experience in radio or television, or you knew how to film, how to shoot videos, and so on. But now, you know, as we move into the area of new media studies, our focus is not radio, television, and film. It really picks up with maybe interactive television a little bit, but really moves into web and internet-based and CD-ROM kinds of phenomena. So I've been trying to get experience, production experience in the new media. Not because I was trained in that, but because now if somebody who's kind of focusing on that, it's kind of incumbent upon me to have more production experience.
So the program combining the practical and theoretical.
Yes. And in fact, that's a real struggle for us to combine the practical and the theoretical. Because our students only want to do the practical. They don't want to be bothered with the theory. I can't get them to read anything to save my soul. On the other hand, I keep telling them, but you will design better if you have an interesting question to work on. And what theory does is help you ask good questions, or interesting questions. Mm-hmm. Not that it's going to help you exactly know how to design a button different. I'll be designed better, I'm not interested in helping you design buttons. I'm interested in helping you think more critically. Anyway, so we have more than that. And so, they're going to go out and be multimedia webmasters that sometimes fail to see the importance of critical work. Yeah.
But that's maybe because it's a school that was really concentrating on engineering and the technical aspects in the first place, right?
Right. But they're much more hands-on, pragmatic in their approach, which is good, and they do really interesting stuff, and it's exactly maybe what the faculty can contribute, is that for the most part the faculty don't have the same kind of production background that the kids, even the students do. They're not kids. And so, if they could kind of run rings around us in production, what we contribute to this is, we require them to read the theory, and we require them to reflect critically on the projects that they do.
So it really makes sense.
So it's just a little bit of a tunnel, but it doesn't
happen from the practical thing, so no more.
Oh, yes.
Okay. It's really important to know the shortcuts of Photoshop to know how something looks.
My point is, you can animate your site to within an inch of its life or a pixel of its life, but that doesn't answer why you're doing the site in the first place and what and why people would visit your site. It's just, as we're seeing now, more bells and whistles and more animated GIFs and more stuff, that doesn't make a site compelling.
No.
What's compelling is, the angle or the content or, the topic, the focus, the eye candy part of it's not what is going to bring people back.
And what do you think about your reception in the feminist field?
Good question. The reception falls into two categories. The category that says, why are you doing this? This is a privileged domain. This isn't the kind of feminist work that we should be doing. We should be working on much more grounded projects and so on, like technological literacy or getting computers in the hands of underserved populations or so on, so that doing things like talking about web design and doing postmodern theory as it has to do with digital aesthetics from that angle seems pretty esoteric and pretty non-political and not grounded. That's a long-standing feminist critique of many things, including all kinds of theory in general. So you couple that with a kind of fascination or involvement with high technology, it makes sense that we would be criticized kind of on those grounds. But then there's another group of feminists, young women, who are, you know, very fascinated with the technology, don't necessarily know how to use it, but are eager to learn. There are a number of women in our program, and a number of men who I think would call themselves feminists, who are interested in the use of the new media precisely for feminist kind of topics or feminist concerns. It might be how to, you know, do a website for the Georgia Commission on Women, you know, how you can kind of gather all the information that on women's services in the state of Georgia in one place so that people could access that information like a database. Or they're interested in what kind of websites would women design, you know, that would be informed by a kind of feminist or feminine aesthetics. And so, you know, then there is another group of feminists who are, you know, are intensely fascinated and are very interested in the implications of this stuff.
Yeah, so,
okay,
we come to you theoretical work. Yeah, you focus on the consequences of new technologies on our relations and society. Which kind of technologies and new technologies, which of them you have in mind for this? Is it more the communication technologies or which ones?
Well, I come to an interest in the communication technologies, you know, through the book. I mean, in that I started with investigating, in fact, the first kind of technological theme that I got interested in was bodybuilding, which in some respects is the most organic kind of body technology and the least invasive in the sense it's not like cosmetic surgery, cutting into the flesh. So I started investigating technology kind of with the most grounded material, least invasive, and moved through different topics or different kind of technological themes until I ended up in kind of in the midst of studying online communication and the gendered aspects of that. And it was from there that I really started looking at and being interested in just new media in general. By new media, I mean things like not only online communication, but right when I was looking at that, the World Wide Web sort of sprung to the fore, and people started getting interested in that. So web-based things, interactive TV, interactive, installations, you know, like interactive films and virtual reality arcades that are more embodied than the early applications and so on.
You recognize any similar implications that we could